We are going to get into the Word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 6. Hallelujah. How many of you sense the anointing here tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 6. We'll start in verse 29. John the Baptist has just been beheaded, which was troublesome news, obviously, to everybody. That what looks like the end is never the end with God. What looks like the end for you, or something that looks like it's the end, is never the end with Jesus. The greatest outpouring of revelation and teaching that God had, that Jesus had almost in his ministry to the disciples, was about to take place right on the heels of a big tragedy. In verse 29, when the disciples heard, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. They had just heard about it. Verse 30, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran by foot to all the cities and outwent them and came together unto Jesus. And Jesus, when he came out, saw many people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. So Jesus is telling you the same thing tonight. You meet the need and you provide the abundance. And you may be sitting there thinking, I don't know how to do that. I don't have the money. It doesn't matter. God has the knowledge. He has the revelation, and you have the seed. Hallelujah. So God is telling you right now, you provide abundance. You manifest supernatural provision. The message tonight is Walking in Supernatural Provision Part 2. Actually, Living in Supernatural Provision Part 2. God has got a higher level for us to walk in. He doesn't want us to walk in the same level, in the carnal level. There ought to be a difference in the life and the walk of Christians, especially those of us that are full of the Holy Ghost and know the Word and know how to stand in faith. There ought to be a level that we walk at of the supernatural, a level that we walk at in supernatural provision and manifesting the power of God, that demonstrates to the entire world around us that we have something that they need. That's why all these people were coming to Jesus, because he was already walking at this level. It's interesting to me here that the Word says that Jesus taught them many things, but it doesn't say exactly what he taught them. I think that's because the greater lesson that we need to get was the lesson that Jesus was about to teach to the disciples. There's revelation that God has for the masses. There's teaching and preaching that God has for the masses. But then he has a higher level for those that are pressing into the things of his Spirit. Those that are willing to come out on a Wednesday night when everything's really, really busy and come apart with Jesus and not get caught up in the busyness. As it said here in the scripture, we just read that everybody was coming and going and they didn't even have time to eat. There are a lot of people tonight that are at home, and I'm not, and it's no condemnation, but I mean, any of us could have stayed home because we're coming and going, and we're like, dear God, I hardly even have time to eat on a Wednesday night. How can I go to church? But God has revelation. He has a fresh anointing for you, because you came out and you made it, praise God. And if you're watching on live stream, you can shout and praise God for it too, because he's got it for you also. Amen. God wants us to come up to this higher level. Jesus is about to teach the disciples a lesson. And teach us a lesson. He says, give them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them to all sit down by companies in the grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. And to set before them, and the 2 fishes he divided among them all. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. In verse 45, now this is just the afternoon. So during the day, Jesus is teaching the word to these 5,000 people, plus women and children. And he's also healing them. If you read this in all of the Gospels, he also healed them. So the entire day, Jesus is holding a healing crusade and he's teaching the word. I think that's really awesome too, because it doesn't have to be one or the other. Well, just because we're word people means we don't believe in healing. We're doing a crusade out in Tyler, and we had a venue that we booked that is a coffee shop that's owned by a church, and we did a meeting there a few months ago. Came back to set up another meeting, and this is a Bible church, so I figured, hey, you know, it's a Bible church, that'll be okay. It's a for-profit business, and they refused to do business with us once they got on our website and found out that we believe in healing and we lay hands on people and God works miracles. They emailed me back and said they declined our reservation. They didn't have anybody else booked. Well, that's what, it doesn't have to be one or the other. It doesn't have to be, it's not like, well, we're just Bible people. Well, denomination doesn't matter. Jesus wants to do it all because he wants to meet the need. And Jesus not only wants to do it all to meet the need, he wants to do it all so we can walk in abundance and not be victims of need. Because praise God if you're at the level where God's meeting your need. But if you're only at the level that God's meeting your need, that means your faith is following the need everywhere that you go. You can never get into abundance if your faith is following the need. If you just go from one month to the next, and then the next month a big need comes on you and you're believing God to meet that need, then you'll never get to that higher level of abundance that God has for you. So we got to step up to that higher level. Praise God. It doesn't have to be just one part. It's not a denominational thing. It's not a doctrinal thing. Praise God. The doctrine of the word stands true. It stands alone. It doesn't have to have anybody change it or translate it or prepare it or anything like that. Praise God. The power of the word of God works every single time, and the power of the Spirit of God works every single time, and it doesn't need the help of people. It doesn't need the help of man. It doesn't need the help of anybody. Hallelujah. As an evangelist, when you have revival and you see healings and things like that take place and the power of God touch people, sometimes you get word back from a church or somebody else, a pastor, somebody that was like, well, we're not ready for revival yet. Our congregation, we love your ministry, but we're not ready for revival yet. I tell you what the actual situation is there is that the pastor or the leader is actually the one that's not ready, because when God begins to touch the people always respond, because it's always a matter of meeting the need and bringing abundance. God never shows up to bring division and bring doctrine and say, the Lord forgot that he was in a denominational camp and he accidentally worked a miracle. Now he's bringing confusion. That's not how that works. God is in the business of loving people, meeting needs, and bringing abundance. Hallelujah. That's why he does what he does. So Jesus here is teaching the disciples an awesome, awesome lesson. I want to point out that this miracle that Jesus worked did not have to be worked. The disciples actually had a viable idea to send these people out into the villages to go buy food. So it would have worked. Jesus didn't say that they would faint on the way, because that's the case with the 4,000. They were going to faint on the way, so he actually had to work a miracle. But this time, in the natural, this was not a miracle that had to be worked. So why did Jesus work the miracle? Well, the day is not over yet. What a life, what a day in the life of Jesus when you see 5,000 men plus women and children get fed supernaturally, and then look at what happens next. And I know you know the story, but I just want us to read it. In verse 45, straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And verse 51, he went up unto them into the ship, and when the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now, if you read this in John, it says that Jesus, in all the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus was actually going to walk right on past the disciples. So he wasn't even going to the ship to try to do a rescue mission. Jesus now has worked a miracle multiplying the loaves and the fish that in the natural did not have to be worked. And now he's doing another miracle. He's walking on the water that in the natural he did not have to do. He very easily could have just gotten on the ship with the disciples and prayed on the way. I mean, how many of you pray on the way to your commute every day or most every day? I mean, you can pray on the way, but Jesus is working another miracle that did not have to be worked. So Jesus is trying to demonstrate to us that he wants us to come to a higher level where the supernatural that we manifest is not led by need, but it's led by God's abundance. God wants us to step into that place where we walk in his abundance and we manifest his abundance. And what we do is supplying the need with extra everywhere that we go. Hallelujah. And the reason Jesus is doing that is because we have to get revelation in our hearts of this truth so that we can manifest it. Because it's not a matter of just manifesting something because Jesus is good or the glory falling and all these things taking place. You have got to get it in your heart. You have got to have understanding of this on the inside of you. That's what Jesus was doing, and that is why he multiplied the loaves and the fish when he didn't have to do it, and that is why he walked on the water when he didn't have to do it, because he's trying to get something on the inside of the disciples, and right now he is trying to get something on the inside of you, because he wants you to operate these principles of abundance. He wants your faith to get a hold of this higher level so that you can manifest this in your own life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah tonight. So he's calling us up to this higher level, and he's demonstrating this level of the supernatural. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 8. I'm throwing out a whole lot of scripture here to get us started. Mark 8 and verse 14. And the saga continues. Mark 8 and verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. Verse 15 of Mark 8, he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, Why do you reason? Because you have no bread. Do you not perceive? Do you not understand? Is your heart still hard? So Jesus wants us to get something of understanding in our hearts. He wants us to perceive. He wants us to understand these principles that he is teaching. You know, like I said just a minute ago, it's not just a matter of God's glory falling every time. Now, that needs to happen, and thank God for when his glory falls, but God wants us to get this on the inside of us. He wants us to have understanding to where we understand and we perceive what Jesus understood and he perceived when he multiplied the loaves and the fish and when he walked on the water. Because when we do, we can do the same thing. Sometimes we are waiting for God to do and for God to do something and rain it down from heaven, and he's standing back and waiting for us to get it on the inside of our hearts so that our faith will manifest what he's needing to do here on the earth. Hallelujah. He said, why do you not perceive? Why do you not understand? Is your heart still hard? Let me qualify that heart hardened issue there. You know, when we hear that, we instantly think that means, oh, he's talking about a criminal, somebody who's a hardened killer. That's a hardened heart. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. If you study this out, it actually just means a carnal heart. That means it's a heart that is carnally minded, thinking about and is that does everything and all of its reason and logic is based on what has taken place in the realm of the natural and nothing else. You see, that is the heart that blocks the revelation. That is the heart that cannot step into the faith of God for something and manifest and go to a higher level of abundance, is a heart that's hard, because Jesus is working miracles. He's teaching the word. He's doing these things. But in a response, we can't, it's like I'm trying to say again tonight that it's not just a matter of God raining it down from heaven. It's not just a matter of the glory falling, which those things need to happen. And thank God when it does. Because I believe it was happening just here during praise and worship and here when I was laying hands on people. So that needs to happen. But if we sit back, especially as Spirit-filled Holy Ghost people, Let me just dig at you a little bit right now, especially and me, especially as Spirit-filled Holy Ghost people. We can get so hung up on that everything has to be some sort of manifestation of Holy Ghost and fire, which is great. I am the biggest Holy Ghost and fire preacher you will ever see. But we can get to that place where we stop letting God get revelation and faith worked on the inside of us. And then the devil's actually got a religious block on the Holy Ghost and fire people, just like we accuse other people and think all the denominational people have a religious block. No, well, they may, but we've got one too, because we don't want to get revelation of these things and get understanding and perceive what God is saying, and then so that we can manifest the same thing. And I'm telling you, we need to be hungry for revival and the fire of the Holy Ghost. However, that is not a reason to not get a hold of these principles when Jesus is clearly teaching and saying, get understanding, get revelation, and you go and do the same thing. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I didn't get shot down for saying it, so I guess I'll keep preaching. I'm telling you, it's all of it. Jesus, here in Mark, I believe it only references that he taught the people all day, but in another gospel it says that he healed the people all day. So one writer in the gospel saw one thing and another one saw another thing. But with God, it's all of it. He did it all. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost. We need the anointing of God. However, the fire of the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God will not accomplish this if you reject perceiving and understanding and getting this revelation on the inside of your heart. I tell you, you can get hands laid on you all day till you get a bald spot that's shaped just like my hand, like that. And it's not going to accomplish it. Hallelujah. We have got to get to this level. And I'll tell you one thing. That for the city to get changed by the power of God, for the nation to get changed by the power of God, the church has got to step into this level of abundance, because that is where the finances are going to come from. That's where the finances are going to come from, is this level of abundance where God meets the needs supernaturally. And he's going to bring in the money some way. I mean, usually gold bricks don't just rain down from heaven when God's wanting to meet the need. He's going to meet it some way. Usually, you know, a businessman shows up. All of a sudden, somebody gets a piece of property that's sold out in the middle of no man's land, and they've got $70,000. God has ways of meeting needs, and sometimes it's so simple. So he is going to do it. But for us to reach the city, for us to have a huge impact as the church, we have got to get a hold of this principle and walking in abundance and living in the realm of abundance like Jesus did, because that is how it's going to take place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus here is talking with the disciples, and he says, when I fed the 5,000, how many baskets did I take up? And they said, 12. And Jesus said, when I fed the 4,000, how many baskets did you take up? And they said, 7. So how many of you can tell right there the math in the natural does not add up? See, God is doing something in the realm of the natural that brings abundance in the natural, but if you look at it, it doesn't add up in the realm of the natural. That's because the supernatural is a higher realm, and the supernatural is a more true realm. Now, I want to drive this point home right now. The devil wants us to think that the supernatural and the word is true, but it's really going to be more true when we get to heaven. But here in the earth and walking in this earth and going in day to day as Christians, that what's really real is what we can see and touch with our physical hands and see with our eyes. That's what's really truth, is what's true in the realm of the natural. And that this supernatural truth and walking in supernatural provision, well, that is something that's true. It is something that's spiritual, but that's really going to manifest when we get to heaven. If you want to see what's really real, then you have to that it's just going to be here in the carnal realm. That's what the devil wants us to think. And when we think that way, it's like you believe and you think about supernatural provision and walking in the realm of the supernatural, but you never manifest it, because you think that, well, the truth, what's really true is what I see with my eyes. What's really true is what I can touch with my hands. And a spirit of religion will blind us and prevent us from stepping into this, because we can't touch it. We can't touch it and we can't see it with our eyes, and it doesn't make sense. But I'm telling you, what is real is the supernatural. Hallelujah. with Jesus, whether he multiplied the loaves, as I said last week, whether he multiplied the loaf and the bread and the fish right then and did a creative miracle, it's just the same as when he created the earth 4,000 years before, and he created seed, and he created wheat, and he created a fish, and those fish reproduced all those 4,000 years, and then the bread reproduced from the seed to the wheat, from the seed to the wheat for 4,000 years. And so Jesus' creative miracle from 4,000 years before is still producing. So all of those people could have gone to the grocery store and bought food. They could have got provision. And the disciples are looking at that and thinking, well, that's the natural, carnal, easy answer. But if you're Jesus, that's not what you're thinking. Because if you're Jesus, 4,000 years before, when you created the earth, you just didn't go to the grocery store. You didn't say, I need to go buy planet Earth. That's what I need to do. I need $70 trillion. I need some money. Where God, I need some money. This is where we start off. I need money. I need some money. I'm going to go buy planet Earth. No, that's not how it took place. It's not like planet Earth was created elsewhere and Jesus just had to go buy it and it was already in existence. Jesus created the earth. He created the heavens and the earth. And so it was a creative miracle for him, whether they went to buy groceries at the store and get some food or whether they had provision take place by multiplying the bread and the fish. It was all a creative miracle to Jesus. So I'm trying to tell you right now that whether we see a miracle take place or you just go buy something at Kroger or Walmart tomorrow, it's all a result of a creative miracle anyway. So Jesus doesn't look at that situation and think, man, that was really hard to walk on the water. That took creative and supernatural power for me to walk on the water. Now, if I'd have gone on the boat, it would have been so much easier. Jesus does not think that way. Jesus doesn't think that way about multiplying the bread and the fish to where, oh, it was really hard to multiply the bread and the fish and work a creative miracle. We should have just sent them over there so they could go buy stuff so I didn't have to max out my faith because that was such a hard miracle for me to believe God for. No, he was and is the creator. Either way, it was a creative miracle. Jesus, multiplying the bread and the fish, you have to see this from Jesus' mindset. And this is why he got frustrated with the disciples in Mark chapter 8 and said, why have you not perceived this? Do you still not understand this? Why is your heart still hardened? It wasn't that they were hardened criminals. Their hearts were hard because they saw that he fed 5,000 people and he took up 12 baskets full. He fed 4,000 people and took up 7 baskets full. But they didn't open their hearts to what he was doing and see the power of the supernatural that he was trying to give to them. That's what the hardness of heart was. Jesus is trying to reveal to them. He's working miracles that he did not have to work for the good of the people so he can teach us something. So this is important. He is doing this. He's having me get up here and shout, jump up and down to get your attention because he doesn't want your heart to be hardened to this. He doesn't want you to think carnal-minded about abundance and provision any longer. He wants you to realize that you can do the same thing and open up your heart and not be carnal and not be hardened-hearted about it and let that revelation get on the inside of your heart. Hallelujah. The numbers don't add up. That's exactly what is supposed to drive us to prayer and open our hearts and say, Lord, do a new work on the inside of me about this. Change my thinking. Change my mindset. The numbers didn't add up. Jesus walking on the water does not add up. Like I've said many times, if we were believing God for a miracle and I had to walk on the water, I probably would have had something like, I need to step out on the water, and while I'm in midair, then a small boat needs to form underneath me, and that's my miracle, because now I got provision. But Jesus is demonstrating that you don't even need the boat. You don't need a piece of land. When he walked on the water, when Peter walked on the water, they did not need a piece of dirt to float up underneath them to support them. This is walking and living in the supernatural. What Jesus is trying to say is change your mindset and think like Jesus thinks. If you want to think like Jesus thinks, you have to get in his position. You know, if I want to read what's on this pulpit, I can't read it from right here. All I see is the side. You see, and that's the way that we are when we don't have the right perspective, when we're not thinking the way that Jesus thinks. If we continue to be carnal-minded and think, I can't walk in abundance like that, then we're never going to see God do what He wants to do. But you have to come over here and get in the front where you can read it. And you see how easy that is? Now I can read Calvary Cathedral Bible College. You can read it now. It's right there. It's because I moved. Over there was carnal-minded. Over here is being Jesus-minded, right with Robert White. And Pam White. Jesus-minded people. You got to change your mindset and your perspective. That is getting out of being carnal-minded. Because you cannot see, as Romans 8 says, the mind is at enmity against the things of the Spirit of God. It's not subject to those things, and neither indeed can be. So our carnal-mindedness, our hardness of heart, prevents us from walking into the realm of abundance that God has for us. Now, it wouldn't be such a big deal if the multiplication of the bread and the fish just happened and it just went on and it never happened again and Jesus never referenced it and Mark, the writer of the gospel, never referenced it. But the only time that I've found in the gospels that Jesus ever referenced a miracle that was worked was the multiplication of the bread and the fish. And then Mark, in chapter 6, also referenced it back in verse 52. He said that their hearts were hardened because they considered not the miracle of the loaves and the fish. So God is wanting to drive this home and in this parable and get us to walk into this realm of abundance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say amen tonight. Amen. So point number one, I'm going to go through these. Be abundance-minded and not need-minded. So we have to change our mindset. The disciples were seeing need and lack because they were carnal-minded. Jesus is not seeing need or lack with the 5,000. When Jesus is walking on the water, He's not seeing the need of a boat. He's not seeing the lack of a boat. Because like I've said last week, what did He stand on when He created the earth? Did God the Father send Jesus a little piece of dirt so He could stand on here in the solar system and then He could call the earth into existence? No, Jesus didn't even need that to stand on. It's a mindset that He is calling us to come up to. Be abundance-minded and not need-minded. Being need-minded means you'll meet the need, but you'll never rise above it. Praise God if our faith has gotten to a place where we can meet the need, but if we're need-minded, we will never rise above the need. Being eternal-minded is being abundance-minded. I want you to understand this point right now. Being eternal-minded is being abundance-minded. You see, we can know the things of the Spirit. We can know what God wants to do. We can have a direction from God, just like the disciples did, but they were still need-minded. Why? Because their mindset was temporal. They just saw this five-minute period they were living in right at that moment where they had 5,000 people that needed food, they needed bread, they needed fish, they needed to provide food for these people. They did not have an eternal mindset like Jesus did that came all the way back to creation 4,000 years before where Jesus created the whole world and that the disciples' physical body themselves was a creative miracle. So if you look at it through the eyes of eternity, if you look at it all the way back to creation, then having a mindset of abundance comes naturally. Being temporal-minded forgets what God has done, and that hinders our faith. You've got to remember the things that God has done in your personal life. You have to remember how He saved you, praise God. How He's worked financial miracles for you before. Because if you forget what He's done, it's like the disciples, just in less than 24 hours, when they were all up in fear and concerned on the boat because of the storm. And in verse 52, it says it's because they considered not the miracle of the loaves and the fish. They had already forgotten. In less than 24 hours, they had already forgotten what Jesus did for them when He multiplied the bread and the fish. So temporal-minded. If we are temporal-minded, you can be trying to be powerful in the Spirit, trying to believe God, but you'll forget what God did yesterday because the spirit of fear hits you, and there's another need that you have today, and then all of a sudden you're just all up in a tizzy and full of fear because God can't provide, and what's going on? And that's Jesus is standing right in front of you, and you don't even recognize Him. Temporal-mindedness robs us of abundance and walking in the supernatural. That's the difference between the disciples and Jesus. One of the differences, they were temporal-minded and He was eternal-minded. Why was walking on the water a big deal to Jesus? It wasn't, because He created the whole earth. And he didn't have a platform to stand on when he created it 4,000 years ago, so he doesn't need a platform now. But if he was like the disciples, and as soon as the storm came and the boat got a little shifty and rocking like that, and he forgot everything that God had ever done for him, and he forgot he was the Son of God, then he'd be out there panicking too. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Totally full of fear. Temporal mindedness. That's some good preaching right there. Being eternal minded is abundance minded. Being eternal minded is being abundance minded. You want to walk in supernatural provision, you've got to be eternal minded. Hallelujah. Being need minded doesn't see the value of seed. Well, I wish I had another hour right now. I am on point one, letter C. Being need minded doesn't see the value of seed. Only the pressure of crisis. Being need-minded doesn't see the value of seed. It only sees the pressure of crisis. That'll identify where we are right there. Whatever you're believing God for, whatever's taking place, what is your mind on? You have to take thoughts captive. You know, people get... with the word of faith teaching, which I teach and preach, and my wife and I walk it out, and we speak the word. But some people complain, I don't have to speak the word, and that doesn't work. Speaking the word doesn't work. I'll tell you what goes a whole lot even deeper than that is where Paul said to the church at Corinth that you have to take every thought captive. Not only your words, but every single thought. What is the train of thought coming through your mind? There are times when I'm going through the day, and a stupid demonic train of thought starts coming through my mind. And I'm just like, no, that's not my thought. And I said, and I'll say this out loud. I rebuke that entire train of thought in the name of Jesus. Take authority over the whole thing, because even our thoughts matter. Being need-minded doesn't see the value of seed, only the pressure of crisis. When you're in a situation, the disciples were in this a similar situation, and rather than them seeing a seed, which they had bread and fish in their hand, which Jesus knew was a seed, rather than them seeing seed, all they saw was crisis. All they saw was pressure. See, being need-minded is going to be focused on the crisis and feel the pressure. If that's where we're at, if that's where we're living, then we are missing the abundance. If you want to step, the first thing to step into supernatural abundance and supernatural provision is to start being seed-minded about everything. Being abundance-minded is being seed-minded. Well, I've got a huge need. Hey, welcome to the planet Earth. Everybody has a need. I mean, how many in here have ever walked through your life so far and you never had a need for anything? I saw somebody, it's just one of these things, you're flipping through Facebook or whatever, and some news thing showed up about an actor that hit it big back in the 90s, and they died of cancer recently it's somewhere in their early 50s. And I thought, man, all the money that they had, all the fame that they had, and it didn't save them from an attack of cancer and an early death. And they may have been saved, I don't know. But just the concept of being seed-minded and walking in abundance, man, God has provision for healing. Because what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples was not only financial, because that very night he did it walking on the water. It was the same lesson. So living in supernatural provision is not just finances, but it's also healing for your body. Hallelujah. Being seed-minded is being abundance-minded. God has a seed for every situation that you find yourself in. God has a seed for you. The disciples had fish and they had bread in their hand, and they had no idea that that was the answer to the problem. They had no idea that that was the seed. What do you have, what might you have in your possession right now that is a seed that God wants you to sow, and you have no idea that that's the answer for your harvest for the next 2 or 3 months? Hallelujah. You have a seed. The word says that Jesus, God gives seed to the sower. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. He gives seed to the sower. So every single one of you have seed. Every single one of you have seed to step into this realm of abundance. But you just have to recognize it. You have to be close enough to Jesus to have him, let him, the Holy Ghost, point out to you that right there is a seed. And then that right there is going to bring a supernatural harvest. What do you have in your possession right now that might be a seed for the supernatural provision that God has for you? God has a seed. He has planted a seed in your heart and in your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Being abundance-minded always looks for seed before looking for harvest. Being abundance-minded always looks for seed before it looks for harvest. And that's a mistake that we, especially faith-filled Christians, make, that we know that God has a harvest for us. We know that God has abundance. So before we start planting the seed, before we start asking God for seed, we go straight to the harvest. Lord, I thank you for my... And I'm not saying this is bad, but when we do that and we neglect going after the seed first, then the harvest is never going to come. Oh, hallelujah. I could hear a pin drop right now. You can have a need. You can be believing God for something, but if your faith went straight to the harvest and your faith didn't go to the seed first, then your harvest is not going to come. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. Hallelujah. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. Now if you look at that in the Greek, which I did, it actually says, now he that ministers seed to the sower and bread for food will multiply your seed sown. So what this is saying, and that's a very, very minor adjustment, but what it's saying is that God gives seed to the sower and gives you bread for food. If you are seed-minded and God comes... And you're believing God for a harvest, and God comes, and then he gives you seed, and then he also gives you bread. If you're need-minded, you're going to be like, oh, hallelujah, God gave me $100, which is the bread. And then you just consume the bread, and you forget the seed, and you don't sow the seed. If you're need-minded, because the bread met your need that day. And God will meet your need for that day. But along with that, he gave you a seed that's going to meet your need for the next 6 months. It'll meet your need for the next 3 months. It'll meet your need for the next 2 years. God gives you seed, and then he gives you bread. Hallelujah. He gives you seed, and he gives you bread along with that. And a lot of people that are need-minded, we think when we get the bread, that praise God, that's my harvest. No, the bread is not the harvest. The seed has the harvest on the inside of it. When God gives you seed, he gives you bread. Somebody who is abundance-minded and is seed-minded, when they get seed and they have the bread, they're going to think, praise God, God gave me bread. I have enough to eat while I go and sow my seed. And then I have enough to eat while I go and reap the harvest. And I can turn this seed into a big enough harvest to give me bread for 5 years. Do you see the difference there? God gives us seed and he gives us bread. And so many of us, we get the bread because that's a supernatural provision of, in a sense. And we get satisfied with the bread and we forget about the seed. And then we don't sow it. But the problem is, it says God gives seed to the sower. So if we're not a sower, if we're not seed-minded and an abundance-minded with what God gives us and the seed just sits there and rots, we have bread and fish that we should have sown but we didn't do it, Then the bread that God gives us, how did that come? It came with the seed. But God gives seed to the sower. So if God's given you seed and the bread comes with the seed, but you're not a sower anymore, then maybe next time that bread doesn't come. Well, God's not going to provide for me. That's what you said. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying God has supernatural provision, supernatural sustenance for you, but we have to be seed-minded. Hallelujah. Let me point out one more thing, that it says God gives seed to the sower. It doesn't say that he gives harvest to the harvester. Hallelujah. God gives seed to the sower. He doesn't give harvest to the harvester. Why? Because the harvester doesn't need a harvest. Because he was a sower 3 months before and he sowed the seed. And in the seed that God gave this to the sower is the harvest. And guess what? Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. Hallelujah. So he gives you the seed. He gives you the ground. He gives you the right to sow it and multiply it and walk in supernatural abundance. And praise God, He's also the Lord of the harvest. So He's going to multiply your seed sown and increase your fruit. That's what the rest of verse 10 says right there. Hallelujah. He's going to bless your seed. He's going to increase it. He's going to multiply your seed sown, and He's going to increase the fruit from that seed. Praise God. Hallelujah. So be seed-minded and be abundance-minded. Hallelujah. I hope I'm not going too deep for you on a Wednesday night. Hallelujah. This is university material, I think, right here. Hallelujah. Let me give you a few more points. Being abundance-minded is what I just said. Being abundance-minded always looks for seed before looking for a harvest. Hallelujah. Jesus gives seed to the sower, not harvest to the harvesters. He'll supply the bread, but the bread is not your harvest. Don't quit just because you got bread. That's what so many of us do. A supernatural miracle of provision takes place, and we just eat the whole thing, and then we quit believing God. God did not give you a miracle and reward your faith and give you the first step of the answer so that you can quit using your faith. That's not the reason that faith gets answered, is so you can quit on your faith. But that's what a lot of us do. Stop reaping the harvest and you'll stop getting seed along with losing your seed and your bread. So we have got to be abundance-minded and not need-minded. Jesus was abundance-minded. He saw abundance. The disciples were temporary-minded, they were need-minded, and they were carnal in their heart, and they missed what God wanted to do. But God is telling us tonight to open up, let God work in our hearts, get this revelation deep on the inside, praise God, because it's time for us to get to that higher level of supernatural abundance. It's time for you to walk at a higher level of supernatural abundance, praise God. And God has a seed. He's planted in your heart. He's got it in your life somewhere. I don't know what that seed may be. I mean, it may be giving away a car that you have. It may be an offering. It may be giving some volunteer tithe. I don't know what the seed may be, but God has a seed, and this is above and beyond your tithe. Let me just qualify that. It's above and beyond your tithe that you can give here at the church, however God wants you to sow it. I'm not trying to qualify any of that, but I am telling you that God gives seed to the sower. So every single one of you has a seed that will step you up into the realm of abundance. So start praying and asking God, what about my seed? Lord, I am a sower. What about my seed? You've called me to reap a harvest. Like for us, God's called us to do crusades and to do television. So what is our seed? That's the first thing that we start believing and praying and asking God about. What is the seed that you have called us to sow so we can see the harvest that you have? Praise God. Because He's the Lord of the harvest, and He is going to multiply your seed sown. Hallelujah. He is going to multiply your seed sown. So find your seed and sow your seed. Hallelujah. And begin to see this the way that Jesus sees it. Begin to see it with an eternal perspective. Hallelujah. And see that it's nothing for God to meet your need. You may need $10,000, and you think, nobody around me has that much money. It's nothing for God to meet that need. Find out what your seed is and watch God meet that need. And as the Word says, He meets the need in abundance with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. So let's go up to that realm of abundance. Let's step up to that and start living in supernatural provision with the Lord, because He has this for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Can you say amen tonight? Shout hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to pray for people before we do. And give you an opportunity to sow into Harvest Ministries. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've got a crusade coming up. We've got a lot of churches rallying with us out in East Texas, so you can be a part of that. But I'm telling you, you cannot sow tonight without blessing us and without blessing you. Your seed's going to bless us, but it's going to bless you tonight. So write your checks to Calvary Cathedral, and they'll write one check to Harvest Ministries. Hallelujah. So just take a minute there and pray and ask the Lord what you'd have you give. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for supernatural provision and abundance for everybody here. Thank you, Lord, you make us seed-minded and abundance-minded in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you with our giving right now. We worship you, Lord, with it in our offerings and our giving. Lord, you are worthy. We're giving to you, Jesus, tonight. We're giving and sowing into your kingdom and into your gospel. I thank you, Lord, you multiply everybody's seed sown. You multiply all of their seed sown that they gave in the offering and the tithe and the offerings for the church. You multiply their seed sown in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for a greater level, supernatural harvest and provision for everybody in this place in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you can come and give. And before we